This presentation is dedicated to the men and women of the U.S. Air Force, U.S. Army, and NORAD, North American Aerospace Defense Command. The producers also thank them for their assistance in the making of this documentary. And now, the Edwards Air Force Base encounter. The U.S. Air Force versus UFOs. In several of his speeches, President Ronald Reagan stated that the world could be united if we faced an alien threat from space.
I don't suppose we can wait for some alien race to come down and threaten us. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat. Our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
Fact or speculation? Reagan came back to that subject many times. In California, Edwards Air Force Base is the home of the Air Force Flight Test Center, testing manned and unmanned aircraft, weapons systems, and spacecraft at the Associated Unit NASA Ames Dryden Flight Research Facility. What started as Muroc Army Airfield in 1933 was renamed for Captain Glenn W. Edwards, who was killed there on June 5, 1948, in the crash of an experimental jet-powered YB-49 flying wing he was piloting. For years, Edwards has been the home of exotic test aircraft, but unknowns have flown there too. Edward J. Ruppelt, former chief of an air technical intelligence research project, reported several incidents of unidentified aerial vehicles with advanced flight characteristics seen over this secure test facility in the 1950s. A similar event happened on the night of October 7th, 1965. And here is the voice of the man who first reported it.
My name is Chuck Sorrells, a retired Air Force air traffic controller. I'm recording this on May 16th, 1995. In 1965, 30 years ago, I was a tech sergeant in the U.S. Air Force attached to the 1925th Communications Squadron at Edwards Air Force Base in California. I was the air traffic controller on duty in Edwards Tower on the night of October 7th, 1965. I was working a midnight shift in the tower when at approximately 1:30 a.m., I spotted a group of luminous objects in the air above and around Edwards Air Force Base. They had a flashing red light on the bottom with a green glowing light above the red. They also sometimes flashed or glowed a white light above the green light. The sightings lasted until about daylight, 5:30 or 6 a.m. At first, I sighted one object, which was larger and brighter than the rest. At one point, there were seven objects visible at the same time.
Canadian scientist Wilbert B. Smith, who worked with the U.S. government on classified projects, stated that luminous objects like this were most likely extraterrestrial spacecraft. The objects could become red or white hot from high voltages and cause a corona discharge through the surrounding air. The unusual light characteristics viewed at Edwards Air Force Base have been reported many times worldwide and have been seen in recently photographed footage of similar aerial objects.
The objects would be stationary for a period of time and then move very fast to another location and appeared to be able to climb straight up in short order. Good eyesight and my experience as an air traffic controller made it plain to me that these luminous objects were not planes, helicopters, stars, satellites, weather balloons, or any other known aerial objects. Your job as an air traffic controller calls for you to be watchful. Training told me these were not normal objects. The objects weren't supposed to be there. These were objects out of the normal from their appearance and flight characteristics. I reported these sightings to base operations and the Los Angeles Air Defense Sector. The objects were also seen by at least five other people on Edwards Air Force Base. They were also seen by George Air Force Base Tower and were showing up on radar in at least four different radar site locations. The Los Angeles Air Defense Sector, or LADS, plus NORAD and other parts of the Air Defense Command were very serious units protecting the United States from air attack. The search radar, high finder radar, and visual sightings convinced the LADS people that this could be a serious situation and should be investigated. Ladd decided to send up an interceptor to have a look. Many locations were reporting these objects, and they didn't take it lightly. When I lined the pilot of the interceptor up with the Edwards runway and gave him a heading toward the objects, he reported contact, which means he had radar contact with something. I got a lot of razzing from my buddies on the base for seeing these objects. When I saw them a few times on other occasions, they weren't reported and no interceptors were sent up. I am heard on the actual tapes you will hear from 30 years ago. I am referred to as Edwards Tower.
You are about to hear authentic declassified Air Force audio recordings edited into a chronological sequence from over 6 hours of original tapes made from phone patches, base-to-base communications, and ground-to-air radio. These recordings have been electronically enhanced for greater clarity, and the conversations are those of actual military personnel. Major Struble of a unit then known as LADS, Los Angeles Air Defense Sector of a RADCOM, U.S. Army Air Defense Command, is heard authorizing the making of these tapes.
MASAC?
Yes, sir.
This is Major Struble. I'm on with you.
Right.
The man just went to get the tower boy there so he had somebody confirm his story.
Tell Savannah State to record on.
They are. I got it.
Oh, you got it? Okay.
Recording from position IND-35 on the incident.
He's looking to the north of us. There's one coming pretty fast. I can see his movement. He's coming from north to south. North to south?
Right.
North to south at this time from Edwards?
Right. He's blinking red.
I have another red light and green light combination in sight, moving very rapidly over the field at this time. I'm going to check with my RADCOM to see if they have any movement in that area.
Phoenix, ASO.
ASO Lance here. Say, have you all had any reports of unknown flying objects over there?
No, we haven't.
Okay, I was wondering. We supposedly are having quite an invasion over here.
What area? In our area?
No, it's over around Victorville and Edwards there. I was wondering if any of your sites or any of your bunches over there have called anything in.
No.
Uh-huh. Okay, fine. Thank you much.
Right.
Four of them in that base. Yes, sir. Three on the bottom side, two up. Yes, sir. Count that. Well, there's four all together.
Right.
There's two in a line, and then there's three in a line.
Yeah.
The three in a line would run westward.
Did he come from the northeast?
Yes. No, he came from the...
Yes.
Northeast.
Seeing these guys at 8,000 feet. There are about seven of them. They're red, white, and green flashing lights. They have been sighted visually.
Oh.
And they're climbing now. And
we wonder if you're meeting them.
We're trying to get a cross-section here. They're red. Also, the two towers, George Tower. Also, Edwards Tower.
Huh? Oh, yeah, describe it for me.
I watched it through, looked at it through the glasses, and at first apparent it looked just like a star.
Yeah.
And then it started, it was white and green, it's flashing white and green, and on it appears what appears might be the bottom. At first apparent it looked just like a star.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not, it's not intermittent flashing, it appears to be space.
I see. In other words, it like fades in and out, rather than a definite flag.
It's a definite flashing.
Similar to what aircraft anti-collision lights would do.
Oh, yeah.
But it definitely isn't moving
flag,
or constant enough to be an aircraft.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's bring our hot meters around here and see if we can dig up something.
It definitely changes color from white to red, or white to green, and red, the red flash is strong enough to block out the rest of it to the naked eye, so it appears to be white, from white to green to red.
Can you get any form out of the thing, what it looks like?
I haven't checked it. It appears to move a lot closer to it. I haven't checked it with the glasses. painting over Edwards at 11-5. Edwards is observing them from the ground. Two towers observing them, and we're carrying them on height and radar. They're flashing white, green, and red. And we have a track on them, Kilo 157. They're heading west. They're at this time approximately 20 miles west of Edwards. At 11-5, there was a, we talked to Center. They didn't have anything on it, but heading west through the area at 14 grand. And he had no joy on them. Center queried the bird. Let's see, I'm holding them now
with the bird that flew through the area.
50 miles west of Edwards.
50 west.
Yeah. Now, talk to the sergeant, the UFO people at Edwards. The first place I should tell you that Norton UFO referred this back to Edwards as being in their area. There's a lieutenant is the UFO responsible officer in bed. 3 miles away. The sergeant doesn't have any authority except just to report to us. They haven't requested a scramble or anything. My question would be then, do you want us to shake this lieutenant out of the pad and see if he wants to request? Edward said they had no capability space ops going up and looking. Now we're painting loud up there and everybody's seeing him. So, do you think we ought to check this lieutenant out of the pad and see if he wants to request we go up and take a look?
It might be, well, they haven't raised him yet, eh? They haven't called him?
Well, I told him to hold off until I talk to you.
Uh-huh.
The sergeant's reluctant to call him until he feels like he needs to because it's being 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. He has such a good paint and everything on him. I think it'd be worthwhile if he could call.
Yeah, that's my feeling, too.
Right.
And then if he...
Especially in that area, you know.
If he should request a scramble, we could probably take one of the guard birds, or gooses up, I think.
Yeah, that should be okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Sir?
Yes.
All I get in here is Special 13 for unsafe target.
Okay, let's put a Special 13 in on 157.
Okay, sir.
Right, thank you. This is the SD. We're making Kilo 157 a Special 13, which is the classification for unsafe target.
This is the tower at Edwards. We have an object now. Open the field.
He is right over the field.
Right over Edwards, moving southward fairly rapidly. And this thing also has, I can make out red and white flashing lights. And the captain at that one has confirmed this.
He can also see this.
He can also see this.
In addition to Edwards, the following Air Force bases were involved with this event. March, George, Norton, and Hamilton, where the 28th Air Division was located. An element of the Air Defense Command, their Major Healy gave Major Struble and Ladd's orders. Major Struble was called SD for Senior Director. Also heard on the tapes will be the Weapons Director, Lieutenant Fitz, called WD or WD Technician 3 for Team 3. Captain Ballant, the UFO or UFO officer at Edwards, had real authority and no planes could be sent up from Edwards or George for the planned mission without his approval. Armed planes, Convair F-106 interceptors, set for immediate takeoff, were called alert birds. They may have carried nuclear weapons in the form of the AIR-2G Genie unguided rocket with a 1.5 kiloton nuclear warhead. NORAD was informed of the situation and did not request they be further alerted unless things turned drastic.
Yeah, this is Hindley SDK. On the three UFOs you got generated there.
Right.
I can't talk to Ladd, and I mean, just to, you can call it a pigeon. Norad doesn't want them. Norad tell them they will unless something drastic happens.
Okay, you don't want to tell them.
Well, keep them in the computer, like you have now, John Plus. And if anything, you know, anything comes to this, then coordinate with us. I mean, I don't know what else we can do.
They are scrambling their UFO officer out of the pad.
Uh-huh.
And I talked to, I don't know who's making the decisions, I talked to Major Healy over at Hamilton.
Yeah.
And if they requested a bird to go up and take a look, we were going to send our Alpha Lemas up from Edwards.
Yeah.
Who's making the decision, Major Healy or you people up there?
The decision still comes from 28.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll just continue with what we're doing then.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll look at you real fast.
Right, sure, it's here.
What up?
Do you see your director between?
This is Major Struble.
Yes, sir, Scam Ballard Edwards.
Yeah, you're a youth officer?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I've coordinated with my people at the next level, and they're willing to let a bird go. Take a look. We got the 106 available.
Right. Well, the directive I have says only that if it's within the existing policy to go ahead and do it, so it depends on your policy. As far as I'm concerned, it would be a good idea.
Well, actually, the way I coordinated it with my people is we're standing by for your request.
Okay. So that's fine. And then you have a request.
Okay, let me get you the spelling of your name for my log. Captain what?
Ballant,
B-A-L.
B-A-L.
E-N-T. Okay, and you're a UFO officer at Edwards?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I guess we somebody has the number to reach you back.
Right, sir.
I'll re-coordinate this now, because it's been some time.
All right.
But we do have the live set on.
Okay.
We should be able to pick them up all right. So I'll get in touch.
Fine.
Roger.
I'll wait for your call.
Right, thank you.
Hello, this is Captain Clark, Alpha Lima.
Okay, Captain Clark, Lieutenant Reed.
Yeah.
We have some confirmed reports of some unidentified flying objects in your area.
Okay.
Approximately six or more. From Edwards, just south of Victorville. Now, we'd like to use, we have information from 28. We also have some height finder cuts from anywhere from 3,000 up to 13. They're moving slowly and climbing slowly.
I see.
They're red, white, and green flashing lights.
Uh-huh.
And they have been confirmed on radar.
I see.
We can't use one of your alert birds. Do you have another 106?
Oh, that's all we have.
That's all you have.
That's all we have is a 6 on alert.
Okay, just a moment. I'll let you speak to the senior director. Maybe I can go ahead and use one of your alert birds. They can't establish what these things are.
Yeah.
Just a second.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so they're still trying to decide here what to do. Okay. You say you might have one?
Well, Sergeant McClary said we had one on greater than 1 hour, but I believe that's just because we don't have a pilot here for it.
Oh, I see.
But I'm pretty sure they're all left loaded.
Yeah.
He's checking that out, the ground crew now.
Okay.
If he does, if they do have that downloaded, then we could take one.
Uh-huh.
If not, then it we'd have to have an authentication on the scramble with the weapon board.
Yeah. Okay, Major Struble just wanted us to call you, the SD here, and let you know. And I'll tell you, I'll call you back in a minute, or in a few minutes.
Okay.
How can I reach you?
Just call the hot room again.
Okay.
And
right.
They'll get you back to you in a bit.
Okay, thank you. I have another call coming in now.
Right.
Okay, sir. Sir Romeo. Yes, Michael.
Major Healy, please.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Major Struble here, lads. Okay, they've finally gotten Captain Ballant, UFO Officer Edwards, out of the pad. And he said, yes, he would like to have a look. We're getting plenty of live data as visuals on these things, about 40 miles south of Edwards, several of them, running in the altitude, the ones we're measuring. From 4-5 to 6-6 thousand.
4-5 to 6-6.
Yeah, 4.5 to 6.5 grand.
Yeah.
We have non-loaded Det 1. I think it was. Was it Det 1 or Alpha Lima that was available? Reed?
Is that Reed? Was it Det 1 or Alpha Lima?
Alpha Lima. Non-alert birds. If they could get one of their pilots in about 15 minutes.
They can?
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and take a look then, right?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead and use them and be careful of those low altitudes down there around the hills and all that stuff.
Yeah, right. Okay, we'll take a look at
this. How many are painting now?
The varying reports come in. We have a conference going with Edwards Tower and Pedro and Juan and Height. And it seems to be about three. And they're in the azimuth roughly from 150 to 120 and 40 miles from Edwards.
I see. Yeah.
Which puts them pretty close to us, but we've had people up on the roof looking. I think one of our people had some ops on them. But there are a number of people have had visuals on them.
I see. And say Edwards Tower, any of the tower people picked them up visually?
Yes, they've been watching them for over an hour.
Yeah. Okay, I think it might be worth a try.
Okay, well, we'll get this guy out of the pad and run him up to probably be a half hour before he can get there.
Okay, use caution.
So, Roger.
Okay. Use caution. Proper military procedures were in place for a possible threatening situation. We will hear that the luminous objects were not weather balloons. And alert pilot Captain Clark will indicate that the objects demonstrated peculiar behavior. A department known as Phoenix was also receiving the radar information. And this may be the highly classified agency that dealt with the UFO subject for many years. Ironically, Project Phoenix is now the name for the former NASA division previously known as SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. On the recordings, the people at LADS indicate that they had had previous experience with similar sightings when they state, "We process these every now and then."
I'm Forecatcher. All right, Forecatcher. This is Wing WD3. I'm getting some reports for Edwards Tower, Victorville Tower, and several radar sites about the UFOs. Are you launching any balloons out of Edwards?
Any balloons?
Yeah.
None that I know of.
I see. We'll do. Does Edwards have us?
Edwards don't have a Raven sign unit to send up. So I doubt if they lynched anything, they wouldn't have no reason to.
They wouldn't have any reason to send balloons.
Not the weather section, anyway.
Out of Edwards, huh?
No.
I see.
Unidentified flying saucers?
Objects, oh, yeah.
No, they have no reason to launch any weather balloons.
Roger. Sergeant Bell, Edwards, again. The UFOB officer from Edwards has just confirmed this one. Over the seal, he has seen this one. The captain at Det 1 has seen this one. I have seen it. And the UFOB officer said it appears to be an aircraft to him. It does not appear so to me.
It appears to be an aircraft?
He says it appears to be an aircraft. Coast control has nothing on any aircraft. It's moving too slowly. That out.
The captain said that was, he doesn't even think it's an aircraft either because of the light situation.
There's only two lights, a white and a red. I see no green. The UFOB officer saw this one. He thinks it's an airplane. I do not.
I don't either.
Captain Clark?
Yes.
Lieutenant 6, WD here.
Yeah.
I see. What do you think of it?
Well, I'll tell you, when I first saw the thing, it was approaching the base from the north, and it looked like a fairly low altitude, probably 10,000 feet. And I got a good look at it with the binoculars. It seemed to be pushing a little cloud in front of it. And I thought, well, first, you know, it looks like a rotating beacon hitting the cloud.
Yes.
And, but it just stayed right with it. And then it turned a little bit more westerly and gained a tremendous amount of altitude.
Lance?
Yes. Roger.
This is Sergeant Bell in control with our non-observation on that last one that reported all over Edwards.
Right.
It is almost invisible now. With the naked eye.
Yeah, the others visible around the area.
Yes, sir. I still have the original one.
he has moved now to approximately 145 degrees.
I see.
And estimated 40 miles and very, very high now.
ASO between?
Alright, two weeks, AST. Roger. I understand you got some UFOs.
Roger.
Whereabouts are they?
Edwards and Victorville area.
Oh, I see. Well, I thought maybe they were closer to us.
No. Probably not.
I got word you were leaving in Vegas or something.
Roger. We've got Vegas on eliminate here.
Well, what information have you got on them?
Not very much, except they're flashing green, red, and white.
Hmm.
Or green, red, and blue or something.
How many is it supposed to be?
I don't know what the latest count is. It's getting pretty good.
Of course, around Edwards, you might see most anything.
Yeah. So anyway, we're about to scramble a bird off on them, so if we could keep Vegas' data, we'd appreciate it much.
Oh, okay.
Roger.
Thanks. I'll take it
in. Echo Mike.
Now, Phoenix would like you to pass the tracks to them.
All right, sir. You mean ideal velocities, all the ones we have recorded?
Yeah, just let them tell them Phoenix, because if we should crump them and they had to take the interceptor, they'd have the tracks.
Okay, sir, we'll have them switched in.
Roger.
Right.
Release.
Release.
Does it make any sense to you what it could possibly be?
No, we're in a much as darn as you are. We process that now, then.
Yeah. Okay, I'll get the thing going anyway.
Okay, you key off here now. Thanks a lot.
Off the box here. Sure.
San Pedro is painting them. Three targets, and they're all three around 9,000 feet.
San Pedro's picking them up at 9,000, huh?
Roger.
What about Boron?
Boron, we're working with them to see if we can get them on them now. But those three little dots out there, and
yeah.
I'll say that the three definite objects is not weather, it's not clutter.
They can see the objects, but they don't see, they're not aircraft.
No, they can't tell what they are.
Scramble-on. You are scramble-on, huh?
I'm sure he's finding out what the hell they are.
Yeah, I am, too.
And you'd be within your rights to scramble them, wouldn't you?
I don't know. You have to meet us, too, well, I guess.
Well,
I see what they want to do.
They're not moving hard at all. They just, they watch them for 30 minutes, and they didn't move at all, and all of a sudden, boom.
Where are they?
Don't know.
Little green men.
Nobody has ever intercepted these things yet.
They're calling a pilot in from home.
Because? They need a special pilot for these?
Well, here's the whole thing. He's the senior director of here. And he didn't want to send up any alert planes. See, all the alert planes are hot. And he didn't want to send them up.
I guess those things turn hostile because they haven't done anything yet.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see what's going to happen when he goes up.
Yeah.
Takes a look at them. There's nine of them now?
Twelve. I just can't recognize it.
These babies should multiply, don't they?
Yeah.
Alpha Lima.
Roger, between WDJ-3. Alpha Lima 01, getting close.
He's cranked up, but I think we hit a snag here.
Oh, goodness.
We're checking on it right now. I'll let you know.
Oh, okay, right.
Stem on.
Okay.
All of them appear now that the red light has stopped, and they all appear to be getting up altitude rapidly.
Is that right? I'll go out and watch that bright when it gets there.
Okay, there, there's three more of them well south and dim.
Okay.
And I still see a red light occasionally out of one of them.
Where are they from that big bright one?
Beneath them and just a little bit south. And there's three of them almost in a straight line.
Uh-huh.
Almost horizontal.
I see.
And I still see a red light occasionally from those. But not from the big one.
Yeah.
Space Ops boy has been observing this with me all night here. Let me get him back on CT if he's getting the same impression from it I'm getting.
Roger.
I don't like to be the only one saying these type things. Man.
Roger.
Head start Charles again. Space Ops confirmed by what I'm seeing. They are all rising. And there's a weatherman in Space Ops that has been observing these things all night with me, and he's been using reference points to try to judge if they were moving.
Right.
And he confirmed that they are very much higher now than they were. They are definitely going up.
Do you have any estimate on the altitude now?
I'd hate to venture a guess. I would say something like maybe 30,000, 40,000, but now this is strictly
way altitude type off the eyeball again.
None of them are low altitude anymore then?
No, sir, I wouldn't say. No, not nearly what they were. At first sighting on that one, I would adjust his altitude to be no more than at the most 5,000 feet.
These visual reports have had them anywhere all the way up to 30 and 40 grand. Still very accurate. We'd get height on the same track at 6,000. Anywhere. These are tower guys. Oh, yeah, they admit it. In fact, one guy says, I don't like to be the only guy that sees this stuff. So he went to get somebody else. Now they've got a weatherman out there looking at them. They've got the tower people looking at them, and March Approach has them on radar. And Pedro and Boron.
We just heard Sergeant Chuck Sorrell say, I don't like to be the only one seeing these type things, but he kept observing them. And we will hear him help vector the F-106 interceptor, called Alpha Lima, towards the luminous objects above the Edwards runway. The F-106 was equipped with the MA-1 fire control system and SAGE computer direction center connected to the air defense network. This achieved automatic target lock-on, but the pilot could still manually fire his weapons. Listen carefully to the voice of the interceptor pilot pursuing the objects and stating contact, indicating that he had actual radar contact with something solid.
Alpha Lima.
Roger, this is the plane again, WDDS Tech 3. Listen, on this bird is taking off. Is that a hot bird, right?
No, he's cold.
Yeah, he's cold and he's not loaded, right?
No, he's not loaded. All of us are up there.
Okay, is he aware of now what he's going to be doing and everything? How pleased is he?
Too much.
Yeah. Okay, Edwards Tower?
Yes, sir.
WD. Okay, Alpha Lima 01 is now bearing about 195 for 15.
I have sight.
You have missed sight?
Yes.
Edwards, do you still have any of these UFOPs in sight?
Yes.
Okay, try to pick out one you want us to intercept and we'll take a 01 in on him.
Have him proceed.
Okay.
It appears to be going on north-north now. Have him come right down the runway, 04.
Alpha Lima 01, would you turn your running lights on?
Yep.
Roger 01, turn your lights on.
Lights on.
Right. Alpha Lima 01, starboard 360.
Roger. Roger. Roger.
Roger.
Roger.
Alpha Lima 01, starboard 040.
Okay, 01 is coming down the 040 runway.
Let him go right over our rocket site. Start a slow turn right over the rocket site. Okay, he's turning now. Hold that.
Okay, how's he looking now? I can start with a 1-2.
Hold that,
huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, could you, what's the blip in relation to him? 12 o'clock?
About, have him more right. Could you have him, the best reference I'm going to be able to give him is have him come back over Edwards and line up with the runway again.
Ground observer requests you fly down the 040 runway.
Alpha
Lima 01, when you reach the end of the runway, starboard 090, at the end of the runway.
Departure in or departure in?
01, you should hold at one blip now. Target on your right, one on your left. Stand by for range. Still need it for range on the targets.
All right, one on the left. Contact, stand by one of them. Possible contact at right at about. Possible contact right over the bus in right 20.
Roger, pursuit to what I target.
Roger.
Right. You hold that target approximately, you know. 5 left at 17. Range now 15.
Left.
Approximately 5 to 7 objects, green, red, and white flashing lights. They are swiftly moving. They would be stationary for some time, then quickly move straight up.
All kinds of on my target now, and no sound at all. The description of this object, lights the sun, get out of all the shot here.
But there should be approximately, there was approximately 5 to 7 objects, green, red, and white flashing lights. They are quickly moving. They would be stationary for some time, then it's out of contact now, range of 3 miles. We're losing contact with the Husky now. Starbridge. 050.
050.
Now 010 City. You should pass over Edwards Tower.
Roger,
could you check this target down?
Oh,
my,
he's quite low out there.
Roger. 01 to get a descent to search this target.
01, Edwards Tower reports you at the vicinity of this target now.
What did he find out there to the west?
He lost his contact.
I still have a contact out there.
Oh, you do? Visual?
Yes.
Is it one of these objects? Does it look the same as the rest of them?
No, this one just appears to be a flash, not any red or green spots.
Oh, I see. Could be something else.
All right, I have Alpha Lima in sight now.
Yeah, he says he's got a contact, 12 o'clock 16.
That's it.
Okay, Pedro.
Right.
Turn your high finder 7 degrees ahead of him. Hey, Tower?
Yes.
How's he looking now? Is he headed for anything?
Pretty good. He's looking good.
Yeah, the blimp's merging. I mean,
yes, he's converging on it. They are converging. He seems to be maybe just a little bit south of it. Left turn. Low left turn. He's low and left. That thing is rising.
Tower, how's things look now?
He's low. Look, search high.
He's going to search high.
Search very high. The thing is rising. It's rising rapidly.
It looks like it's right above him from the tower now.
It looks almost directly above him and rising.
Okay.
Pedro, come back to the target.
Come back to the interceptor.
You're in the general vicinity now. It looks much higher, much higher.
Okay, Alpha Lima's going to climb to 40,000.
No contact at 030.
Hold 030. Search 15 degrees either side, 030.
Okay,
Tower, turning Alpha Lima 01, port to 250, should bring him straight in over the top of you.
Over the top of us again?
Intercept still holding 25,000.
Right, and
0,000 now.
Say again?
He's climbing.
Climbing?
Okay. He's climbing to 40,000.
One of the objects is to his right, low?
To his right and low.
Search busy, right and low.
Pedro, search.
Mark that spot. Check 5 degrees either side of that height finder. And look high and low.
Okay, have him come right, have him line up with my runway 04. Have him go on a right turn and roll out 040 and bring him right down my runway.
You want to do what now?
Right turn and roll out 040. Come right down my runway.
Okay, he realizes turn radius up there is about 20 miles.
I'd put him to the north of him when he comes around.
Gotcha, okay.
Okay, put him starboard turn, 040.
01, turning starboard, 040.
Roger.
That should bring him in quite a ways north of here.
Yes, he will. We'll probably lose him when he goes over the tower and have to catch him on the side.
I've got a possible contact on search radar bearing near station 075 to 10.
075 to 10.
Roger, anything out there?
I have one at 075. I couldn't say the distance.
Roger.
What heading is the interceptor on now?
He's on a 080 heading.
Okay, hold that.
Roger, how's he lining up?
Looks pretty good.
Luminosity 12 o'clock?
Should be 12 o'clock. 20 degrees, port and high. 050. He appears he's way low.
Way low?
Yes.
We're at 40,000 feet.
Still low.
Search high.
I would say he was about 100 now.
But
he should be 100 now.
Did he pass under target at this time?
Yes, about the time I said mark, he appeared that he was almost under it.
Okay, mark that spot there. Pedro?
Right.
Okay, search 10 degrees either side. All 01 reports is one great big bright shiny star.
Yeah. That's what it appears like from the tower now. It has that appearance here now. It is much higher than when we first observed it.
If it's that much higher, we're not going to see it on the search radar.
I suspect it's over your radar now.
Is that in the area of this target you're searching?
Right, this is the search,
BPI. That is the BPI search area.
Hey, Tower?
Yes, sir.
Have you got anything else in sight?
No, sir, just those two that we tried on there. And he appeared from the tower just passed way beneath it.
Adding to the amazing nature of this event were the 700 scientists and engineers from throughout the country attending a technical conference at the NASA Flight Research Center, also at Edwards. This conference concerned the X-15 rocket craft experiments, including hypersonic modifications and possible uses in space. The X-15 was tested around that period and eventually reached a maximum altitude of 354,200 feet and a maximum speed of 4,520 miles per hour. Question: were any of the scientists awake for the spontaneous demonstrations of high-tech craft which appeared over Edwards late that night?
Edwards?
Yes, sir.
Is there one about southeast of you, about 3 miles at this time?
Southeast at 3?
Right.
Yeah, southeast, much closer. We've got a possible contact there on something.
Just a moment. I see something. Let us open glass.
Figure 120.
Sir, I hate to be an optimist, but that fighter looks like he's going someplace. Pedro?
Right.
Right. Did you find anything back in that search area I gave you?
Negative.
Nothing.
I don't have any contact in here. I have you left.
Okay, you lost all your individual contacts on these things?
Yes.
Okay, we'll cover off limit 01 then. Well, it's satisfactory, Rossi, anyway.
Yes, I don't have another one in sight.
You've lost them all, huh?
Yes, sir, I don't have one up at
01 says he saw some reflections off the ground that appear to be flashing.
Reflections off the ground, it appears to be flashing.
Right, off the lake bed.
Huh.
No, he knows the beacons. Okay, sir, might as well key off and break this line down then. We'll see you tomorrow night.
All surveillance, sir.
All right.
Going to debrief Alpha Lima?
Yeah, I've been listening in the air here on my WIND monitor.
Yeah.
You going to
debrief him when he lands?
Probably will.
Flight supervisor.
Negative 3, you wanted to know our results of Alpha Lima 01?
Yeah.
Negative
results, huh?
Well, he picked up a no-flying aircraft, a few ground targets, and things like that.
I'll be
done. He went through at 15, 25, and 40,000 feet on his visual objects, and supposedly flew right under it according to ground observations, visual observations, and pilot reported nothing flying underneath it.
Okay, well, thanks very much. It's kind of interesting anyway.
Yeah, it is. We're as curious as you are.
Yeah.
I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, I guess not. Okay, well, thanks for calling.
Right.
Yeah,
chief.
And we're as curious as they are. But this recording indicates that the pilot was heard to state contact and sounded as if he also saw the objects from the air. The debriefing of the pilot and reports from Los Angeles Air Defense Sector, NORAD, and the other Air Force bases are still classified. And what of civilians in the area around Edwards Air Force Base? What could they have possibly seen at the same time?
Yes.
One of the telephone people at work here knew about this deal last night. He was leaving about the UFO report. And he said, well, this fellow went into a restaurant in Lancaster this morning, and apparently he knew the waitress in there, and he hadn't mentioned anything at all about this UFO thing, and she was telling him about a guy that came in there last night all shook up. Said he was on the highway between Victorville and Lancaster. It's roughly about 20 miles.
Yes,
east of Palmdale here on 138. And he said this bright red object, he saw it kind of hovering. All of a sudden it made a pass right down over his car and right across the highway, and said it paralleled the highway for quite a while and then just took off, and it like scared him to death. He thought it was going to hit the car.
Holy mackerel.
Well,
he was a telephone man, you say?
No, this
telephone man overheard him.
No, the telephone man was talking to this waitress in the restaurant this morning about 6 o'clock over in Lancaster.
Yeah.
Now, I've got the telephone man's name here.
What, supervisor and the seat director? We have the UFO information dispatcher at Base Operations Norton on also. He's listening to you now.
Oh, good. Then he needs this more than I do.
Is this the Watt supervisor?
Yes, this is the Watt supervisor at Los Angeles.
Hello.
Yeah.
If this is the Lancaster area, we're supposed to refer to the nearest base where this sighting occurred, which would be Edwards or George.
Okay, well, you won't need this report then.
Well, that's the way we have it written up there. It's an SOP. We're supposed to determine the location of where the sighting took place.
Sure.
And refer you, rather refer the party, to report that to the nearest base where the sighting occurred, which would be Edwards or George.
Yeah, okay.
Now, this is the deputy at the tween again. Didn't this occur, though, close to Cajon Pass, where he saw this?
Yes,
The actual sighting occurred at Cajon Pass.
Right down below Cajon Pass.
You mean on the north side of the mountain?
Yes, this is on the north side of the mountain. I'll be glad to pass it up to Edwards. I was just going to...
I can give you the name of the UFO officer at Edwards. I have it on my report here. Let's see. It's Captain... Wait till I find the damn thing. What's that captain's name at Edwards?
That's okay. Do you want it there at the deputy position for your report or not?
No, I won't need it here, but Captain Bilent at Edwards, base ops.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll give it to you.
He'd be collecting all of the data.
Yeah, okay.
And I think it's a real interesting thing. I think he probably would want to have it.
Yeah, I'll pass it on.
All right, fine. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay, what supervisor?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, man.
Edwards.
Okay.
You have just heard the UFO information dispatcher at Norton Air Force Base. He approached the topic with authority and referenced military procedures on that subject. The fighter interceptor which was flown over Edwards Air Force Base came from George Air Force Base, the duty station of the 329th Fighter Interceptor Squadron, which operated Convair F-106 aircraft. With military downsizing, George, Norton, and Hamilton are no longer active bases. Today, 30 years later, less than half the number of active U.S. air bases exist as compared to 1965. The Los Angeles Air Defense Sector, or LADS, was part of a ragtag and its 6th region, with command and control exercised by the 47th Artillery Brigade and Nike firing elements furnished by the 56th, 65th, and 251st Artillery. On October 7th, 1965, George, Norton, and Edwards Air Force Bases were located in the Los Angeles Air Defense Sector, and the objects tracked over that area were considered serious business by military authorities. Events like this one are not unique. They have been reported all over the world for more than 45 years. Our defense, intelligence, and space agencies need to be properly funded to expand their study of current and future events similar to the Edwards Air Force Base encounter. Possible visitors from space shall still be considered a military threat until the day that human ambassadors can peacefully interact with life forms from other worlds. Until that day, the United States, the world's sole superpower, must remain vigilant and on the alert for unexplained phenomena from parts unknown. The recording you have just heard is an exclusive copyrighted presentation of the Edwards Air Force Base Encounter, the U.S. Air Force versus UFOs. Copyright 1995 by Independent International Pictures Corporation. All duplication, broadcast, and other commercial uses strictly reserved. This program was produced, written, and edited by Samuel M. Sherman, with engineering and original music by Harry Barber. This is Jackson Beck speaking.